If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I would like to read from 1 Samuel chapter 14. I would like for us to look at verses 6 and 7. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. And we're thankful that Thou hast blessed us to know and understand that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise, and our Heavenly Father. We thank You, Father, for loving us with an everlasting love and for the great peace that we have in our soul in feeling the love and the presence of God. We thank You that You have set aside a time for Thy people to come together to worship Thee, and we thank You for every person that's here this morning. Pray that Thy Spirit would be manifest, that we might be able to worship Thee, that we might be able to hear and understand the Word of God, and that it would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We do beg that Thou, as the great physician who has all power, that You would touch and heal and lift up and restore those that are sick and afflicted. Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with Thee. It doesn't matter what the problems are that people have right now, that You can touch and heal them. And we ask You in the name of Jesus Christ that You would perform miracles in the lives of those that are on our hearts and minds this day, that You would touch and heal and lift them up. And we pray, Lord, that You would help all of us here to pray one for another, that we would love one another, that You would help us to help one another as we can. We beg Thy blessings on those who are traveling, that You would give each of them a safe trip. Lord, You know the needs and the burdens and the problems of every person here today. We ask You to bless each individual and each family that's represented, that You would bless them as You alone are able to do, that You would guide and direct our footsteps, and that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in Thy sight. Help us to all remember the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while, so help us, Lord, to live the rest of our lives in a way that would honor and glorify Thee. Bless us now as we study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The subject that's on my heart this morning comes from the words of a song, and the song is, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." I've been thinking about that. I've been meditating on those words quite a bit this week as I have. It seemed like one morning, early in the morning, that God just put that on my heart. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And I want us to think this morning about what are some of the things that bind us together. What are some things that bind our hearts together? What are some things that have bound the hearts of God's people together all through the ages? There are a lot of different things that bind us together. I know that ultimately it's God that binds us together, and I know that it's love that binds us together, but I believe that there are many other things that cause the people of God to be bound together. And I pray that God will help us as we begin to look at His holy word and consider some of the things that bind our hearts together in Christian love. I want you to look now at 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14 verses 6 and 7. The Word of God tells us here about two men. If I were to say Jonathan, who would you say was Jonathan's best friend? David. David and Jonathan, I believe with all of my heart that they are two of the best examples of two people that had a tremendous love for each other. Their hearts were bound together in Christian love. David and Jonathan. And Jonathan's heart was bound together with a number of other different people, as was David's, but probably David and Jonathan, as far as all of the people that David was joined together to, and all of the people that Jonathan was joined together to, I believe that they would have both agreed that their best friend was each other, David and Jonathan. But I want you to notice now in 1 Samuel 14, verses 6 and 7, the Word of God says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor." Now, that was his armor bearer. That's as Jonathan is going forward as a great soldier, he has an armor bearer, and that armor bearer and Jonathan were great friends. Their hearts were bound together, just like David and Jonathan's heart was bound together. We find here that Jonathan and his armor bearer, that they were bound together in love. They depended on each other. They trusted in each other. They helped each other. Especially the armor bearer was a great blessing to Jonathan as he carried Jonathan's armor and held up the armor for Jonathan. He protected the life of his friend Jonathan. He loved Jonathan. I believe the armor bearer would have laid down his life for his friend Jonathan. Look now at verse 16. "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.' And his armor bearer said unto him, 'Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold,'" listen now to his words, "'I am with thee according to thy heart.'" You hear what the armor bearer said? You go whichever direction you want to go. "I am with thee according to thy heart. I'll be with you, I'll stand with you, and I'll go with you." The armor bearer of Jonathan and Jonathan, their hearts were bound together. Now, God blessed these two men. If you were to go home and read the rest of this chapter, God blessed these two men whose hearts were bound together. He blessed them to cause the whole army of the enemy to flee. Just two men going forward. God's power was manifested in an abundant way through these two men, and they were able to do great works because God was with them. And I believe that when God's people will work together and labor together, and their hearts will be bound together under the blessings of God, that there's no limit to what they can do. When Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, He sent them out how? He sent them out two by two. And as they went out two by two, don't you know that each of those apostles that had a partner, don't you know that that apostle and his partner apostle, that their hearts were bound together in Christian love. And God blessed the work and the labor of those 12 men, who all 12 of them were bound together. God blessed them to turn the world upside down. Their hearts were bound together with God, and their hearts were bound together with each other. And what I want you to first of all remember this morning is that if you and I, as the people of God, if our hearts are bound together as God would have them to be bound together, if we're united as God would have us to be united, if we love each other the way God would have us to love each other and to love Him, then there is no limit to what God will bless us to be able to do. We need to pray, God, help us that our hearts would be bound together in Christian love. The devil is always going to do everything he can to keep us from being bound together in love. There are some of you in this congregation that I've been friends with for 30 years, because I've been here as pastor for 30 years, and our hearts have been bound together for 30 years. That's a long time. Did you know it? One of the things that as I have meditated on this, and I know that you can meet somebody today and your heart can be bound together with them right then, but I've also found that during my lifetime, the people that seem to be some of my closest friends are the people that I have been bound together with them for a long, long time. Some of you I've known over 30 years, and we have been friends, and our hearts have been bound together. And all I can say is, brethren, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts together. Doesn't matter whether you've just met somebody and you've just begun to love them, or whether you've known them a long time, we need to thank God and bless God and praise God that we have the ability to love one another, and that our hearts can be bound together. Just like Jonathan and his armor bearer here, their hearts were bound together and they worked together and God blessed their work together. God will bless our work. Did you know that two together can do more than two separately can do, combined? The Scripture says this, two are better than one. And it comes on down and says, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, that's a threefold cord. What do you think a fourfold cord would do? What do you think a sixfold cord would do? What would you think about a hundredfold cord? You see, brethren, that the more of God's people that can bind their hearts together and that God will bind their hearts together, the more of God's people that will work and labor together, the more they will be able to accomplish to the honor and glory of God. It's God that enables our hearts to still be bound together. There are a lot of things, and I don't want to get into this right now, but there are a lot of things you have to do to keep your hearts bound together. The first thing I want to just talk about today is that it's a great blessing to have our hearts bound together in love. That's true in a family. It's true in a marriage. It's true between parents and children, and children and their parents. It's true between brothers and sisters in the home. It's true between the brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a tremendous blessing that we can have our hearts bound together in Christian love. It's a great blessing from God. Did you know that it is impossible? I believe it is impossible for 100 people. Like, if you just take the people who are here this morning, it is impossible for our hearts to be bound together without God helping us and blessing us. The way I'm talking about hearts being bound together. Now, I know the enemies of God, I know that heathens can bind together against the people of God, but I'm talking about the hearts being bound together. That's different than the enemies being bound together and what they do. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Back up just a few pages. Back up about 20 pages in your Bible and in Ruth. Look at Ruth first. In Ruth chapter 1, back up, it's just 20 pages before where we're reading here from 1 Samuel chapter 14. In Ruth chapter 1, the Word of God tells us about Naomi and Abimelech and their two sons, and their two sons married, and then the two sons died, and the father died, and the mother, whose name was Naomi, she told her daughter-in-laws to go back, that she was going to go to Bethlehem. She was going to return to Bethlehem, Judah, because she had heard that the famine was over there, so she was going back to Bethlehem, Judah. No doubt there were people in Bethlehem, Judah that she had known before that she wanted to go back and be with them. And she told Ruth and Naomi to go back, or Ruth and Orpah, to go back and stay with their kindred. But what did Ruth say? Some of the most beautiful words in all the Word of God. Look at Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Look in your Bibles at Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. The Word of God says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death depart thee and me. What was Ruth saying to Naomi? I love you with all my heart. I'm bound together with you. I want to live with you. I want to die with you. Your God will be my God. The love that she expressed to her mother-in-law was a wonderful love. It was a love that only God could have moved and motivated. It was the love of God in Ruth and Naomi that bound them together in Christian love. Listen, brethren, these two women, what would you say? I want you to just think for a minute. What are some things that bound Ruth and Naomi? What are some causes that you think? What are some things that you think were motivating factors in Ruth and Naomi loving each other. That's what I want us to think about, is not just the blessing of hearts being bound together in love, but I want us to think this morning about what are some things that we can do that will help bind our hearts together in love. What are some things that we can do? Ruth and Naomi. Okay, let's take that first of all. They comforted each other. They first of all, they loved the same people, didn't they? Naomi loved her son. And Ruth loved that same son because she was married to Naomi's son. So Naomi and Ruth could love each other because they both loved the same person. We tried to study this morning about Philemon. And Paul wrote Philemon a letter and said, now I want you to love Onesimus, even though he's done you wrong. I want you to love him for my sake. And brethren, I think that many times that we can love other people because we love one individual. I wrote the sister Michelle Cooper that I mentioned that had emailed me last night. I wrote her and I said, I love you because I love my daughter Brandy. My love for Brandy, I've never met this Michelle Cooper. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't you often love other people just because of somebody that you have in common? Sister Janice Forsyth's mother. Now, I've met her and I know her, but I have a tremendous love for her mother. Well, what do you think is the main thing that causes me to love her mother? It's my love for Sister Janice and Brother David's mother and all over this congregation. Do you understand what I'm saying here? One of the things that will help you and cause you to have your hearts bound together is if you love the same people. If you're loving the same people, it's going to be a contributing factor to your hearts being bound together in love. For example, if everybody in this building loves Jesus Christ, that's a reason for us to love each other. If we all love Jesus and we want to serve Jesus and we want to honor Jesus and we want our hearts to be blended together and bound together with the heart of Jesus Christ, then we must also love those that Jesus loves. And that'll cause us to love one another. So I think that one of the motivating factors with Ruth and Naomi is they both loved the same person, and that caused their hearts to be bound together. And then, as Brother Mike said, that they both lost the same person, didn't they? They both lost. Though one was Naomi's son, and that son was Ruth's wife, it still was the same person. And when you lose somebody that you love, and you're ending up comforting each other, it causes your hearts to be bound together. Sister Michelle Street, don't you think that your heart has been bound more to people in this church and other people because of your sickness? Doesn't that adversity, and that's probably another subject, but I'm going to tie it in right here, because when we have adversity and we need prayers, doesn't that bind us all together? I remember early in my ministry, the first year that I was pastoring, my son got sick. And for 8 months, he was sick, very, very sick. And that church in Columbus fasted and prayed. That church, the whole focus of the church was on one thing, and that was on Michael getting well. It was on worshiping God. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about the whole church was burdened, okay? They'd seen him when he was not sick. They'd seen him when he was healthy. They'd seen him when he was doing fine. And then all of a sudden, he was sick. And the whole church was brought to her knees. Do you follow what I'm saying? There was a binding together of the hearts of the people of God in that church. The church was bound together because we were comforting each other, and we had a common adversity, and that was the sickness of my son, and we were all praying together. Do you see that? That bound us together. It was a solidifying effect in that church like had never been before in that church. So when you have problems, it'll bind your hearts together in love. When we're praying one for another, when every time somebody has a problem, we have a lot of people on the prayer list. And listen, brethren, I love Sister Leslie more now than I did a year ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? her sickness and her adversity and us praying for her, doesn't that bind us together more and more? Brother Mike's going to be having surgery in a couple of weeks for his back. All of the pain that he's had in his back, hasn't it caused you to pray and pray and pray and pray? And what does all that praying for somebody do? What does it do? It binds your hearts in Christian love. So adversity and sickness and problems and trouble, our whole nation, did you know that our whole nation has a common enemy? Now I'm getting away from spiritual things right now, but there is a common enemy in our nation today. And I'm not just talking about the president, I'm talking about the whole federal government seems to be against what is right and what is good. And it is a solidifying effect between those that love righteousness and those who love truth. It binds them together. There is unity among many of God's people like there has never been in recent years, because we have a common what? We have a common enemy. Now, who is the real common enemy? Get higher than Congress. Get higher than the federal government. Who is our real common enemy? Satan. That's the enemy now. Get that straight. The enemy is the devil, and that binds the people of God together. When we can recognize and realize and unite together against the common enemy, then our hearts are bound together in Christian love. Back up from Ruth, back up just a few pages. In fact, just back up one page. Back up one page to Judges chapter 20. Now, we started out in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Who were the two men that we looked at in 1 Samuel 14 that their hearts were bound together in love? What were those two men's names? Jonathan and his... Okay. David and Jonathan. And then the second one we looked at was Jonathan and his armor bearer. And then who was the next example that we looked at of two people that had a great love for each other? The two ladies? Ruth and Naomi. Now listen carefully. Those are just two at a time we're looking at. You follow this? Those are just two at a time. I want you to see that all the people of God, that our hearts can be bound together in love. Look in Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20 and start with verse 8. We're not going to look here at two soldiers joining together, but we're going to look at the whole army of God uniting together. And their hearts are bound together in Judges chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, and all the people arose. What do the next three words say? As one man. Do you see the unity and the harmony there? And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000 to fetch victual for the people, and that they may do which they came to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they had wrought in Israel. So all, listen to verse 11 now. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, that is against Gibeah, knit together as what? Knit together as one man. Now, do you see the beauty here, and I'm not minimizing the beauty of two people joining together. I think the most beautiful picture of unity and harmony is a husband and a wife being joined together. No? The most beautiful picture of unity and harmony is Jesus and His church. No, the most beautiful picture of unity and harmony is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Brethren, there's a picture of unity and harmony like you will never see this side of eternal heaven. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then you come under that and you look at Christ and His church. Shouldn't that be? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. I have no doubt that Jesus loves the church. My question sometimes is, does the church love Jesus like we should? And then we come to a husband and a wife and the unity and the bond of blessed be. I'll tell you, I thank God for my wife. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Let me ask you, what are some of the things that we've mentioned that will help bind our hearts in Christian love? One of them is adversity. One of them is adversity. You think my wife and I have been through some adverse, difficult times in our life? Many, 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 many difficult times. And so has every couple in this congregation. You've been through some hard times in your life. But adversity, once you weather that storm, in fact, even during the storm, many times you'll be brought closer together because of adversity. Recognition of a common enemy, is that another thing that binds us together? Is that we stop looking at each other as the enemy and realize there's a different enemy other than each other. We're not the enemy. Who was it? Pogo said, we have met the enemy and he is us. Well, if we're looking at each other as the enemy, if I think my wife's the enemy, I've got it all backwards. If we think brothers and sisters in Christ are our enemy, we've lost sight of reality. It's not brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not your husband and your wife. It's not your children and parents. The reality is that the common enemy is Satan himself. He is the common enemy. And we must all unite against that common enemy who is the devil. Isn't it wonderful when people experience what is described here in Judges chapter 20, verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. I praise God, and I hope that you will praise God, because that's what that songwriter says when he says, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. He's saying, thank God, I praise God, glory be to the Lord that our hearts are bound together in Christian love. Now, I want to go to some other things in the book of Ephesians that describe reasons that we're bound together. Listen carefully. Go to Ephesians very quickly. Look in your Bibles in Ephesians. No, I'm not going to go there because I want you to go home this afternoon, and I want you to read the book of Ephesians, and then I want us to come back tonight, and I want you to listen as you read the book of Ephesians. There are three things that are, and I've never seen this before till just reading and studying, and God has just brought all this together this week in studying. But listen, there are three things, and I'll just give you this verbally in closing, and you go home and read the book of Ephesians to see this. There are three things that are, I think, set forth in the book of Ephesians that will bind our hearts together in Christian love. The first one is that we all know what we were before Christ changed us. Does everybody hear that? What were you before Christ changed you? A sinner. Brother Richard, were you a wretched sinner? Does that bind us together when we understand that before God changed us, there was no difference in us? We were all wretched sinners. That was our condition. I just wanted to read just a couple of verses to show you that. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead. What was your condition in Ephesians 2, 1? That was all of our condition. You were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Did you used to follow the ways of the world? And was that all you were interested in? Have there been times, even since you've been born again, that sometimes you get snared again back in the ways of the world? I think that there are. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you know what all of us were before God changed us? We were wretched, miserable sinners who had no love for God and no concern for God or the things of God. We all despised God. Recognizing that truth binds us together, that we can say we have something in common. And that is, before God changed us, we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. And then what we are right now, if we all recognize what we are right now, and that is you are a born-again child of God. God has come to you, and God has quickened you, your heart. And if I see you as a born-again child of God, and you see me as a born-again child of God, it binds us together first to know what we were before God changed us. But now I know, Brother Jerry, I know, as long as I've known you, you've been a born-again child of God. But I've seen you grow from being a little soldier to being a great soldier of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, when you see people go from being enemies of God to being great soldiers of Jesus Christ? It'll bind your hearts together in love. Knowing what we were before Christ, knowing what we are because of Christ, and now the last thing that we'll look at, Lord willing, sometime in the book of Ephesians, is what we all are trying to be in the future. I want to be different. I don't want to stay the same I am right now. I want to grow. I want to be stronger in the Lord. I want to be a better soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to get closer to Jesus. And I want us to get, all of us, to get closer to Jesus. And we can. If we have a common goal, you know what else that's going to do? It's going to bind our hearts together in Christian love. Pray for Israel. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.